Hi, this is Nelson Tressler with NelsonTressler.com, and you are listening to EA Interviews.
EA Interviews, episode 282.
Inspiration, transformation, success stories, and the imperfect action round. 7 days a week. Join Mario Ficini for today's Expert Authority Effect interview.
Expert Authority World, we have another great episode here today, and it is on a personal level. We're going to be talking about mindset and being a better you. I have president of I Got Smarter, CEO, Nelson Tressler, and author of The Unlucky Sperm Club here. And I want to get this right. You are not a victim of your circumstances, but a product of your choices. And that excites me because so many people, I even recently posted something and it was like, it doesn't matter how you grew up, you know, if you grew up in the worst way possible, and I would be hard pressed to think you have a worse story than what I hope he really goes into detail, because I read it and it's why I wanted him on the show. And it's so important to realize you're born with the seeds of greatness and you can do anything if you choose to believe it. And there's so many people who don't. So I'm not going to say any more. I'm going to let him take it from here right after we thank our sponsor, Nelson Tressler. Every business needs a book, including yours. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Nelson Tressler. Nelson, how are you feeling today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
I'm excited to hear from you because you have an incredible story, and I just want you to share it.
Yeah. I definitely have a unique origin story. My mom became pregnant with me when she was 15 years old. And while she was pregnant with me, her father, who was the local trash collector in a small town in central Pennsylvania, drove into the town square. There he spotted 2 police officers. He stuck a gun out the window and opened fire on those police officers, killing one and critically wounding the other. He was eventually captured and brought to stand trial, where he was facing the death penalty. And during his murder trial, my mom got up and testified that the reason that her father had shot and killed a police officer was that that police officer had raped her. And she was now pregnant with his baby, who was me. And my mom's testimony worked. My grandfather's first trial ended in a hung jury. The second trial, they took the death penalty off the table, where he was eventually sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, where he eventually spent the rest of his life, more than 40 years behind bars, leaving behind his family, my mom, and now me in this small town to deal with the consequences of what he had done. And that's where my life started.
Well, don't sugarcoat us. Tell us the real version.
Well, if you believe it or not, my life actually got harder after that. I'm born to a 15-year-old mother. She eventually meets a man who would become my stepfather. Come to find out, he was an alcoholic, very physically and emotionally abusive to me and my mom, almost on a daily basis. Eventually, they have 4 children in quick succession, and because of the lifestyle that they're living, a lot of the basic needs of my siblings fall upon me as the oldest, from diaper changing to bottle feeding to waking up at 2 a.m. to put crying babies back to sleep. And I remember one day going to the 4th grade, that's the last day of school, and I'm excited to see who I'm going to have for 5th grade. And I look down at my report card, and because of the lifestyle we're living, my mom would rather me stay home from school than help her with the children than to go to school. And I look down at my report card and I see that I have straight Fs and that I'll be repeating the 4th grade that I had flunked. The 4th grade. The next year I get placed into special ed. I can't read, I can't write, I can't spell. Come to find out, I have dyslexia. And then a few months after that, my stepfather is walking home drunk from a bar, and there's somebody else driving home drunk from that bar, and they end up hitting and killing him. And it's at this time that my mom, she's dropped out of school in the eighth grade. She's never worked outside of the home. And here she is with five children. And, you know, as hard as her life has been to this point, and it's been brutal, losing my stepfather pretty much left her with no hope. And it's at this time that she decides that she wants to take her own life, and she attempts suicide. And fortunately, she was not successful. But whenever she was released from the hospital, it was at that time that my family ended up getting split up. And that's when I went to go live with my grandmother, who was the wife of the man who shot and killed the police officer.
Wow. I don't want to make light of any of that, but I know the silver lining is you're helping a lot of people now because of your background, and you've managed to turn all... It doesn't feel weighted enough to just say turn all that adversity. It's everyone has adversity, but you're like one of a handful of people I know that have that level of just hell on earth. If I can't think of anything that's more appropriate, but where was the defining point for you to say, despite all this? Because I know, I remember in grade school, high school, middle school, college, there's people that were like, oh, I got an A minus instead of an A. It's like BFD, like your world's not ending. And then I know people with a little bit deeper stuff and, you know, on varying levels, but some of them are still stuck there, unfortunately, and it's nothing. And you have all this and managed to go, you know what? No, I'm not a victim. I'm going to be a victor. And tell me about that when you decided, here's the turning point.
Well, when I went to go live with my grandmother, for the first time, we always had food in the house. The lights always turned on because the power bill got paid. There was always heat. So kind of the survival instincts, they were all taken care of. So I started to reflect upon my life and where I was heading. I always had that, you know, long-term perspective. And I knew, okay, I saw where I was heading. I didn't like where I was heading. And one day a counselor came from the local university and they talked about all the things that you needed to do in order to get into college. And kind of those bells and whistles went off in my head. And I'm like, if I could graduate from college, the rest of my life after that would be easy. And that was my mindset at that point. And you know what happens whenever you tell yourself you're going to do something hard or that's going to get you very uncomfortable, that voice in the back of your head just starts screaming at you. And that's what happened. I remember thinking, as soon as I said, I'm going to go to college, that voice says, Nelson, you know, you're in special ed. You can't read, you can't write, you can't spell. Of the family that my mom came from, she had 15 brothers and sisters. Only two had ever graduated high school. None had ever even attended a college. And, you know, I start to think to myself, I'm going to be lucky to graduate high school. But, you know, things sucked as they were. So I had really nothing to lose. And from that day on, I started to do all the things that I thought I needed to do to get into college. And 12 years after setting that first goal, four different universities, 4 years in the Air Force, I finally became the first person in my family to graduate from college and get a college degree.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How did that give you, not how did it give you the confidence? How did your confidence change from going through that? Because I know anytime I accomplish something, I mean, I'll make myself dinner or something. I'm like, I'm a freaking rock star. So, I mean, I celebrate pretty much everything, but these are actual huge milestones that I didn't graduate college straight up. I don't even have an associate's degree. So these are actual milestones that not everyone can say, yet you can. So how did your you had to have some confidence to go from this hellish situation, but clearly you made the best of it. And now you're at this new level. How did your confidence change?
Yeah. So as soon as I got my college degree, it kind of opened my eyes to realize that, you know, I could do hard things. And, you know, I set a goal, even though I really didn't even know what a goal was. When I set that goal, I determined that, hey, I could do it if I put my mind to it. And after getting my college degree, I really became obsessed with goals and personal development. And from that time on, I read every book I could get my hands on. I listened to every audio program. I went to all the seminars I could afford to go to, listened to the podcast, and really used every goal achievement program that was on the market and use that to design the life that I wanted to live. I realized that I was in control of my life. I was exactly where I wanted to be every moment of my life. And when I realized that I was in control, I knew I could do whatever I put my mind to. And one of our philosophies at I Got Smarter is if you have enough time, enough focus, and enough energy, you can accomplish any goal. And that's what I set out to do over the last 20 years. And I've been able to, you know, I went into commercial real estate right out of college. I became the number one salesman worldwide multiple times for a top five commercial real estate firm. I've started more than 10 businesses, including one of the largest privately held pet resorts in the country. I've been able to do all that. I just celebrated my 25th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
To my best friend. And I just realize what can happen when you start living your life with purpose, when you start to realize that you're in control and that you get to, you know, take your life where you want it to go. The only thing that's going to determine that is how hard you want to work and where you want to go.
What would you say to someone who's undecided on that and might have multiple skill sets they know they can excel in all of them?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we do at I Got Smarter is we do a self-assessment, and it's a process of really going through and figuring out what's truly important to you. Because there's nothing worse than achieving a goal or going down the road trying to achieve a goal and realizing that it's not your goal, that it's the world's goal, or, you know, maybe your parents' goals or your spouse's goals. So we make sure that you're crystal clear on what your goals are and that they're your goals. Because if you go after a goal that's not truly yours, that you don't have enough fuel in your tank to get, or you don't have that strong why, chances are you're not going to achieve the goal anyhow, or you're just going to throw your hands up and give up because it's not your goal. So the first thing is to go through some sort of a self-assessment to realize what's truly important to you so that you know you're going after your goals.
For someone who already has their goals defined, what would you say the second step is once they're crystal clear on it, they need to take?
Yeah, you need to know what price needs to be paid to achieve it and what you're going to give up to do that. Because I think there's so many people out there that will come up with a goal, but they don't realize all the work that's going to have to go into it. And what they're going to have to sacrifice. I mean, I think everybody has that goal that maybe they want to make $1 million, or maybe it's $1 billion nowadays. But are you willing to sacrifice everything that has to be sacrificed in order to get that goal? Are you willing to sacrifice your health and miss some workouts? And, or are you willing to sacrifice on the relationships that you have in your life and maybe miss a few sporting events or not be able to take vacations? So you need, when goals are crystal clear, not only do you know exactly what you want to achieve, you know exactly what it's going to take to get there, and you know what you're going to have to sacrifice in order to achieve that goal.
What if someone tells you no? If you ask them, are you willing to do whatever it takes and sacrifice this, that, how do you help them identify what they probably will have to give up? Or are you just implying they're going to have to change things about their life they may or may not want to?
Yeah, I mean, they know exactly what they're going to have to sacrifice. They know their lives. I mean, our program, we don't tell you what goals you need to accomplish or you should accomplish. We all have different values. We all have different goals in our lives. We all want to accomplish different things as we're on this planet. So that's all up to the individual. What we give them is a proven process. We give them all the tools. We give them all the knowledge. And we especially give them the support to achieve their goals. Because one thing that we've realized that I Got Smarter is we don't have a knowledge problem when it comes to achieving our goals. We have an execution problem. We just don't do what we know we need to do.
Why do you think people are so adverse to it? I mean, you and I have both done a lot of self-development over the years. as do, I would say, most entrepreneurs and successful people. But why do you think we are wired to just not do what we generally want to? I can think back to when I started, and it was just like I was fighting everything. And then there's other times it was easier. And then it's like, then there's that new resistance you have to break through. And I remember early on, it was like, if I could just get to this level, whatever that is, I'll be set. But the second you get to that level, there's a new one you're striving for. Why do you think we're not wired to just go?
Well, it's the way our brain's wired. I mean, we're fighting our prehistoric brain, that part of our brain that wants to keep us safe. It wants to keep us comfortable. So, but we're also fighting that we're not happy unless we have progress in our lives. So that's why when you get to that one point where you thought you would be happy, all of a sudden you're not happy anymore, because we strive for progress. We want to continue to grow. And we're wired that way because without striving to do more and have more and be more, then life would be boring and we wouldn't evolve as a species. And so we're wired to continue to have that progress. But at the same time, that other part of our brain is trying to keep us exactly where we're at. You're safe here. You're comfortable here. You're not going to get hurt here. It still thinks there's a saber-toothed tiger, you know, down that next trail that you want to go that's going to eat you. So it's screaming at you, stay here. You're safe. And you think about any time that you told yourself you were going to do something hard, something to get you out of that comfort zone. And what's that first voice that you hear is, no, no, no. It'll come up with 8 million reasons why you shouldn't do it.
All right. How do you shut that thing up even now when it still creeps back in?
It's a muscle, you also have to realize what it is. It's trying to keep you safe. I know there's not a saber-toothed tiger down this trail. I mean, I definitely evaluate and make sure that the goal that I'm going after is achievable. I mean, I don't want to set pie in the sky goals. I know there's some people out there that have that strategy, like, you know, shoot for the stars. And if you come up short, you'll hit the moon. I don't do that. I mean, I set goals that I know I'm going to be able to achieve, but they're going to stretch me and they're going to push my limits. And that, again, our brain loves that. Our brain loves an obtainable goal that's going to push us and stretch us. So I'm always looking at that. And when I hear that voice in the back of my brain, it's like a muscle. I've gotten used to it and I know what it's coming from. I know why it's there. And then I can quickly kind of go around it. It's kind of like stepping around that person that has their hand up to try to stop you. I know how to step around it and keep on my path to achieve that goal that I want to achieve.
I love that attitude and mindset. And I have to ask you about the moonshot ideas. How do you discern the pie in the sky goal versus a normal goal you know you can achieve if you haven't done either one yet?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that we do at I Got Smarter is we have huge, hairy, audacious goals. I mean, I want to change the world, one person and one goal at a time. But one thing that we teach you to do is we break those goals down, because a lot of people use annual thinking. Here we are in early March. 90% of people have probably failed on their New Year's resolutions or given up already. And the reason is that
or didn't annual, set them.
Yeah, or didn't even set them. And that's even worse. But annual thinking doesn't work. I mean, we just came through a year of 2020 where none of us could have anticipated what happened there. And so everyone just throws up their hands when a curveball comes. And that may be with a pandemic, it may be with a health issue, it may be an unexpected trip or what have you. So we teach people how to set 4-week sprints is what we call them. So essentially a month. And we break that big goal down into a 4-week sprint. So whatever it is, maybe you want to lose 30 pounds. So how can we break that down into what we can accomplish in the next 4 weeks? And maybe that's 5 pounds. And then we break that down into milestones. And we know, again, exactly what we need to do. I'm going to exercise 5 days a week, and I'm going to limit my calorie intake to 1500 calories a day. Goals need to be very specific. You need to have the measurements, you know, all those SMART goal strategies. We have that in the I Got Smarter philosophies. We just have added on to the beginning and the end that makes all the difference.
That's fantastic. And I'm glad you do break it down, because I know people that some of them talk about the big visionary in-depth 10-year stuff, which is great, because I personally do both, because it's good to have something to aim for, whether you think it's big or not. But if you never break it down to like, what, you know, okay, cool, so I'm going to build the Empire State Building or whatever. Awesome. By when? What's the first step? I mean, think of a parked car. You can put rocks and blocks and whatever under the wheels. And I mean, I'm sure at some point, if you've got a 600 horsepower, you know, charger or something, it can get over it parked. But for the most part, you know, the average car, you're not going to get moving until you turn it on and get in the driver's seat. That's like step one. You can figure out the rest later. And breaking it down on that granular of a level, it's all I've done with the show. People are like, how did you pull off everything you've done? And honestly, I'm still in launch week, 1 week at a time. Here's what I'm doing this week. Here's what I'm doing next week. Here's this week's goals. And I've just repeated it over and over and over hundreds of times now. And it works, because there's something you can grab onto and go, here's what I'm definitively doing today. Here's what I'm doing tomorrow. Because that's pretty much all we can see. What do you do?
And I think
go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. What I was going to say is I think there's a lot of people out there that want all the traffic lights to be green before they head out on their journey of success. And that never happens. Success is a lot like walking through fog. You know, you have that fog and you can barely see through it. But once you take a step, the landscape starts to open up a little bit more, and you take another step and it opens up a little bit more. That's the way success is. We don't have all the answers. All the traffic lights are not green, but if you don't get started, you're just essentially setting at that first red light, losing all your fuel. You know, you're still using fuel. You're just not going anywhere. So put it in drive, and you might not be able to floor it right away, but tap the gas a little bit, get moving, because chances are, whatever your goal is, you know what the very first step needs to be, whether it's you need to get more information or what have you. You know what that first step is. And when you get to that first step, that'll open up. The fog will lift a little bit and you'll be able to see what your next step needs to be. So that's my advice to everybody, is just get started. The only place we can start is where we're at, and we need to start, you know, right away now.
That's a great expert authority insight, because I'm smirking because of the movie Eagle Eye, when you made reference to all the stoplights being green. And it's like, that would be really awesome. I don't think I've ever had that happen in my life. Maybe two or three in a row, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome, and it's amazing how fast you can move. But at some point, you're going to literally get stopped, and then what? You know, to your point, do you go on the path? Do you turn? You know, I think forget about all the variables, and like you're saying, just take the next – go another block, go another mile. Tell me about the biggest success story you've been able to give one of your clients.
Yeah, so we had a gentleman who had been struggling for years, 3, 4, 5 years, in and out of work, had struggled since the 08 recession, was in banking, got laid off, went into some depression. His family was struggling. He was struggling in his relationships, and came in, got signed up for the program. And all of a sudden, he started living life with purpose, and he ended up dropping like 40 pounds in 3 months, and had the best relationship with his kids and his wife that he had in a decade. He found his dream job because he went out there and he knew exactly what he needed to do to find the job. And all of a sudden, it was a snowball effect. It was a different person. He had confidence. Because he finally had started to live life with purpose. And, you know, and he wasn't a victim anymore. He realized that he was in control. He realized he knew what he needed to do to have better health, to have better relationships, to find the job that he wanted to find. And once he realized he was in control, he knew his actions mattered. He knew that whatever he did was going to make a difference. So he started making those choices that was going to get him the life that he wanted to live.
That is inspiring, because not just because of the job, but the relationships with his family. And you even mentioned he lost 40 pounds in 3 months. What do you believe is the correlation when someone adds extra weight on? I mean, unless they're a MMA fighter where they're trying to add muscle and mass, most people generally aren't looking to add weight. Maybe muscle is the only exception I can think of. But why do you feel people take that on, the correlation with the work and self-image and just hanging on to stuff?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with being depressed and that comfort food. And just really throwing up your hands and not feeling like you are in control and feeling like nothing that you do makes a difference. And I think some of it's probably self-sabotage. If you're not feeling great in other areas of your life, the diet and the health is another way to just, throw up your hands and give up. And that what this gentleman did is he realized he was in control of his health. He realized that, if he ate less calories than he burned, he was going to lose weight. And he started to take control of that. He started to live life with purpose and plan out his day. And he also realized that he needed to take care of himself first. I think this gentleman probably felt the weight of his family and especially, when he was struggling finding work and providing for his family, that he felt like he was letting them down and kind of threw up his hands. But what he realized was he needed to take care of himself first. It's kind of that analogy of the mask in the airplane, put your mask on first so that you can help others. And when he started to do that, when he started to take care of himself, he started to feel better about himself. He started to have the energy that he needed to go after these other goals and have the energy to put into his relationships. And also, success begets success. And all of a sudden now he's confident. And now he's confident in his health. He's confident in his relationships. And now when he goes to a job interview, they can see that confidence. And if you're struggling and if you're not having the success that you want, start with those small steps. Figure out what you can do over the next 4-week sprint. And all of a sudden you get those chemicals released in your brain and you become addicted to success and doing the things that you know you need to do. And all of a sudden it's a snowball effect. And I think that can be opposite as well. When you have a bunch of down times in your life, you get addicted to that and that becomes a habit. So we're just all about those small little steps. Success begets success, realizing that you are in control and building that confidence and knowing that you're an exceptional person. I don't care what circumstances you find yourself in right now. We all are exceptional people. We all have this potential that is within each one of us that, if we realize what potential was in us, we'd never settle for mediocre again.
Wow. That's, it's very inspiring because I love the success begets success, because I remember hearing one time, you can't be a loser in one thing and a winner in another. And it's reminding me of that and the relationships. I love that component of it too. Why do you think he was, I know you have more confidence and you have the relationships and that's better, but why do you think that was failing as well? I see the pattern of the health, the relationships, everything just wasn't working, but you get one of them working. Why not just keep the relationships a priority throughout the whole thing?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, whenever you struggle in one area of your life, it definitely bleeds off into the other. I think a lot of a man's worth is built around providing for your family. And I don't think he was able to do that for a long time. And I think that bled over into his relationships. It also bled over into his health and probably, you know, a lot of other aspects of his life. And that's why at I Got Smarter, when we set these 4-week sprints, we only set 3 goals at a time, because if you focus on, you know, 50 goals, you're not focusing on any goals is what we find. So we break it down into 3 goals. And then at the end of that 4 weeks, we do another evaluation. And at that time, you can look at your life and say, you know what? I need to spend some more time on this relationship with my child. So every 4 weeks, you get to readjust those 3 goals that you're really focusing on. And whether that be that you need to focus on relationships, or maybe you're starting a new business or a new venture and you have to focus there, or maybe your health is not where it's at. Maybe you set that limit that I'm never going to go over this weight, and you went over that weight this month. So it's that opportunity every 30 days, every 4 weeks, to really take a step back and say, okay, here are the 3 things that I'm going to focus on this month. And you get to do that every single month. So you get this life that you really want to live, as opposed to, okay, I'm going to set this goal for next year. And chances are you're not even going to get serious about it until, you know, 2 months left in the year. And now you've wasted 10 months of your life or of the year or whatever. And the one thing that we know at I Got Smarter is time is our most precious resource, and it should never be wasted. We need to use every second of it, because every second of it's a gift.
Yeah, only got 24 hours in a day, 168 in a week. And best I can tell, that's all you get. I don't know anyone with any amount of money that has more.
Isn't that great? I mean, isn't that great that that's the great equalizer? You know, no matter who you are, no matter what type of means you have, the one great equalizer is that we all get 24 hours in a day. And the life that you're going to live is going to be determined by how you use those 24 hours.
You're sharing a lot of great stuff. I got one more question for you before we go to the imperfect action round, and it's the wheel of whatever. So you get to pick what color you pick a color, and then the question you get is dependent on that.
Yellow.
Oh, awesome. Do you think it'll stop on yellow?
I don't know. I'm hoping.
There we go. Look at that.
There we go.
See how that works? All those questions on there. So my question for you is, with everything you've gone through and achieved, is there anything you would change?
You know what? I get asked this question a lot, and I think about this a lot, and I don't think I would. You know, I think about my childhood, and I think about the struggles that I had, and I think about the life that I lived, but I'd be a different person today if I didn't live through that and get through that. And who knows, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. Maybe if I lived a cushier life, maybe I wouldn't put as much emphasis into being a good husband. Maybe I wouldn't put as much emphasis into being a good father if I didn't have an abusive father. So I don't think I would change anything. I try to live my life with as fewer regrets as possible. I try to live a good life and treat people the way that I want to be treated. I don't think I would trade a thing.
Well, I appreciate the honesty, and I'm going to add on another one, because I actually thought that was a pretty unique question. But when you said I get that one a lot, I'm like, yeah, I guess it is pretty common. Tell me something you've never told anyone before.
Wow.
There we go.
I've shared my story. I mean, this story that I just shared with you, I'll tell you, I never shared that with anybody outside of my small town, except for my wife before I married her. So for 20 years, I never told my children, I never told my friends or my coworkers about that. And then eventually, whenever I wanted to, you know, I exited a few of my businesses and determined what I was going to do with the rest of my life, I thought about that and like, why did I live the life that I'd lived? And I realized, you know what, I survived it, and maybe I survived it so that I could share that story and inspire others, you know, and to let them know that they are not victims of their circumstances, but products of their choices. And that's what made me write the book and get this story out there.
Good for you. And thank you for doing it. And appreciate the audible on that, because I know where your heart's at, and you want to help a lot of people. And I Expert Authority World, if you're listening to this, if you're watching it, share it out there, because I know I'm being moved by it, and I'm sure you are too. So share this out there so we can help more people. Thank you for adding that little extra in there, and we're going to thank our sponsor and come back for the Imperfect Action Round.
You've heard me say every business needs a book, including yours, and it's true, and that's why you should visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. But you know what? Don't take my word for it. Take it from a few of my authors, like Lori.
And I went from having an idea and a possibility to actually getting my book published.
Or Catherine.
Thank you for making my mom number one best-selling author.
Or Mary Alice.
What he got done for me in 3 days regarding my book launch? Unmanageable.
John Cody.
I've worked with Mario over the phone and online, and he's been very helpful in getting me where I needed to go with promoting my books.
Rocio.
There's no way in the world I would have been able to do this with somebody else. Again, I've attempted it in the past. It didn't serve me. As a matter of fact, I ended up more frustrated than anything. So this has been a very seamless process.
Adele.
If you're looking for an amazing business coach, I highly recommend Mario Ficini.
Or Bill Benner.
I can't make a higher recommendation than to work with Mario Ficini. He has been great for me, and right now I won't work with anybody else except for Mario.
Hey, their words, not mine. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com to get started now, and I look forward to hearing your transformation as the next video success story. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com. And we are back with the Imperfect Action Round. Nelson, are you ready to take imperfect action?
Yep, I am. Let's do it.
All right, 3 questions for you, 60-second or less answers. The first one is, what is the fastest path to the profits?
Realize what you want, and then come up with a plan to do it every single day. I would say, short answer, consistency.
Mm. Okay, fantastic. Number 2, what is the... You hit home with that one. Number 2, it's something about your prospects. Oh, what is the biggest problem your prospects are facing and the fastest way for them to fix it?
I think it's clarity on what their goals are and what they really want in their lives. And I think it's a matter of really having opening up and having that self-assessment and really determining what's important in your life. I think people don't really have that clear vision of what they want for their lives. I think they're influenced by so many other people around them, the media, television, all that thing. They need to get crystal clear on what's important to them.
Mm. Very well said. Number 3, what is the best way to maximize customer lifetime value?
Over-deliver. I mean, people want you to over-deliver. Give them more than they could ever expect for what they're paying, if they're paying anything.
Excellent. What books would you recommend to Expert Authority World?
The Unlucky Sperm Club. You are not a victim of your circumstances, but a product of your choices. But I would also recommend, I love Darren Hardy's The Compound Effect.
Yes.
That little small steps can create huge, huge changes in your life.
Excellent. Thank you for those. And where would you like people to learn more?
Yeah, you can go to nelsontressler.com. You can find the app there. The app is called I Got Smarter, all one word. It is available at Apple and Android at the App Store. You can go to igotsmarter.com, and you can find the book everywhere books are sold, including Amazon and Audible.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that. I have gotten a lot out of this personally, and I know Expert Authority World has as well. Thank you for sharing and inspiring.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, Expert Authority World, we have another great episode here today. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, and God bless. You're already the expert, but have you transformed your expertise into a tangible asset that will generate and qualify leads while increasing profit for you 24/7? And if so, how well are you promoting it? With the Expert Authority Effect publishing method, it's easier and faster than ever. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com to get started now. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you got a lot out of it. I know I sure did. If you haven't done so already, I invite you to subscribe to the show. And also be sure to check out eainterviews.com for complete show notes, the full interview video experience, links to the resources we mentioned, and more. Have a blessed day, and I'll see you tomorrow.